I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hello and welcome to Smart TV with me, Kellyanne Taylor, and the phenomenal Caroline Frost.
Hello.
Caroline, how's the voice doing?
Oh, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say a 4, but you know, we persevere.
Yeah, well, you're a trooper. Always have been, always will.
Bless you. Well, it's very easy to watch television with your nose blocked, but I do apologise to listeners having to wade through this. I hope the information will be worthwhile. That's all I can say.
It always is.
It's literally all I can say. Okay.
I like that pun. Caroline, this week I have for you the return of a Netflix extravaganza.
Blockbuster,
yay. Yes. You know, one of the things that people are subscribing to Netflix for, it is the return of Black Mirror, which comes on Thursday.
Interesting.
So for those who don't know, brief description. It's kind of a collection of disturbing dystopian stories by the fantastic Charlie Brooker, normally starring some very big names. So in this series to come, we've got Aaron Paul, Breaking Bad, Ben Barnes, Salma Hayek,
A-list.
Very A-list. Anjana Vasan, who I recently saw in A Streetcar Named Desire alongside Paul Mescal.
You're just across it, aren't you?
I've got my finger on the cultural pulse, me. So, impressive cast. This time, though, the main difference seems to be that a lot of it is set in the past. So instead of doomy fortune-telling, it's a little bit in reverse.
Interesting.
But I think either you're into Black Mirror or you're not. I think it's a good watch. I think it leaves much food for thought. If a bit terrifying.
Okay.
Have you ever watched it? Is it your thing?
I went to a screening once of it when it returned. There was Charlie Brooker on stage, fortunately, to explain everything because I didn't have a clue. But yes, I mean, it's obviously, it's telly for the now, isn't it? So very zeitgeisty. I do have a question. I mean, he's always been such an outsider, really tipping the wink, raising the eyebrow to establishment. But now he's so successful. He's got the Netflix deals. He's got the hoi polloi wanting to queue up. How can he still really be an observer of the establishment? Because he's right there in the middle of it. But hey, he seems to be managing. He doesn't need my concern.
What do you have for me?
I have best interests.
Now, I really want to hear about this because... Okay. I've seen the trailer and it looks incredible and it looks like a really great premise.
Right. So
interesting premise. I think great is probably the wrong word.
Yes, it is interesting and challenging. We have a very happily married couple, very important to lay that out at the beginning, played by Sharon Horgan and Michael Sheen, two top class talents. And they have a predicament that no family would ever wish to face, which is of a sickeningly ill child who they must tend to. And they are tireless in looking after her. She is disabled. She is much loved. She is an essential part of their family. And then they sit in a medical doctor's office and they are faced with her outcomes. And this is not good news. And this big split between them happens. And in fact, the very first scene shows them in a courtroom on opposing sides before the big flashback. Michael Sheen is lovable as a wonderfully concerned father. Sharon Horgan is a revelation as the mother, a tigress with her cubs. She is just indomitable in her determination to protect her daughter. It's an extraordinary performance. So 4 episodes, loads of reasons to watch. Definitely, I would put at the top of it Sharon Horgan's performance. So, yes, challenging, not for the faint-hearted, but definitely worthwhile.
Did you ever see that film and it had, I'm pretty sure, Emma Thompson and Stanley Tucci who play, it's the Children's Act.
Yeah, the legal aspects of this.
Yeah, so yeah. Is it kind of in the same
It's
vein?
In that ballpark.
Okay.
Yes, because, of course, legal ideas and decisions can only go so far. And then you have the human side of things. I mean, it's just, it's a dreadful watch, but I mean dread in the right sense. You know, you are filled with dread and compassion for anybody in that predicament, which is what drama does best when it's really on tip-top form like
this. Okay, well, I'm definitely going to be watching that. Where can I find it?
You can find it on Monday and Tuesday this week on BBC One, 9 p.m, and then it's continuing the following week in the same slots.
Now, something a little more lighthearted, which seems to be something that's happening a lot. We're seeing a trend where remakes are re-emerging. Mm-hmm. So we've got The Full Monty coming to Disney Plus from Wednesday.
The Fuller Monty, apparently.
The Fuller Monty.
Right.
So 26 years since the original film, The Full Monty. The gang are back. So it's the same characters, same cast. Gang of ex-steelworkers from Sheffield. The premise, of course, from the original film was that they formed this kind of striptease troupe to try and make ends meet. Mm-hmm. And now they're back. It's very lighthearted, but still with that kind of prism or looking at life in a post-industrial north.
And I have one question. Are any clothes off-ripped in the making of this film?
As far as I've seen, no.
Right.
I don't know. I don't want to promise viewers, if that's why they're watching it, that it won't happen by
the
end.
I do believe Robert Carlyle has spent the entire week telling any journalist who will listen that his clothes are staying on this year, which is probably for the best in 2023, I think. I think there's enough nudity. Let's not talk about The Idol just yet.
Okay, you have a documentary for me?
I do, yes. So this is a one-off. This is Sarah Beeny versus Cancer, Monday, 9 p.m, Channel 4. Lots of people already know and love Sarah Beeny for her house refurbishment, her location stuff. She seems to be a very energetic presenter and pretty versatile. But her last year has been somewhat stymied by a breast cancer diagnosis last summer, followed by surgery, followed by chemotherapy. And this is your classic diary journal of that time. What sets it apart from every other illness memoir that we're currently seeing? She's very pragmatic, very practical. She's very honest about the toll it's taken on herself, physically, mentally, emotionally, the toll it's taken on her family, 4 young boys. What very sweet scene where they queue up to help her shave her head when her hair starts to fall out because of chemotherapy. And she makes the decision that that's not going to happen. She's going to get in ahead, and she decides to shave it off, and her young boys help her do it. And it's very moving, and you just think, wow, that's a great support network, which is one of the messages of this programme. What does it do for viewers? I think perhaps for anybody who might get this kind of diagnosis and not know what's ahead of them, this shows them that treatment is much better than it was when she lost her own mother to the disease a generation ago, and what to expect. So I think it's a helpful and life-affirming film.
And how is it filmed? Is it through her perspective at the time? Does she have a film crew, or is it more kind of...
It's filmed via a sort of guerrilla diary vibe. So a little bit of iPhone, little bit of cameras in the car on her way to treatments. Interestingly, she doesn't go in with the camera crew to the chemotherapy. For some reason, she decided that was the line beyond which she wouldn't cross in terms of sharing that experience. But everything else is pretty much on screen.
Amazing. Okay, so that is, where can we find
that? That's Sarah Beeny versus Cancer. That's Monday, 9 p.m. on Channel 4.
Okay. You know, again, my classics. My classic coverage is travel, planet-based, something on streaming.
For now. Planet-based for now.
For now. This week, I offer up Our Planet 2, which you can find Wednesday, Netflix. Mm-hmm. It's 4 episodes, and this, unlike the first series, which very much looked at kind of human activity and the negative impact that's having on the planet's wildlife, we are now focusing more on animal migration. So there are some very cute elephants in this. We see penguins, we see buffalo, locusts, gross, and crabs. Ooh, fun.
Thought you loved all the planet.
Yes, all the planet.
Not so much.
Less so all the creatures.
Okay.
But there are some really nice moments in this, as always. I think most of us are there for the scenery. Most of us are there for the dulcet tones of Sir David Attenborough. And then that's it. I think you know what you're getting with these programmes. You're either in it or you're not. And I would say get in it. And this one is slightly less negative, so it's less about...
What harm we're all doing.
Yeah, okay. Which, you know, it's an important message, but it's also nice to see something a little bit different.
Lovely. Great. And I have a little bit of comedy.
Ooh.
Right. I don't expect you to know about the arrival of Blackadder in 1982, but that is how old it is. I'm guessing you are across it, right, Blackadder?
Yes. Have seen. And that is because I'm a big fan, because that's why I work in television, but also because I interviewed the one, the only, Richard Curtis, which listeners can go back and listen to that chat. He is so incredibly funny.
Yeah.
And one of the most generous storytellers ever. So for listeners who want to go back and listen to that, you can find that in the Radio Times podcast feed. But tell me about this new Blackadder adventure.
Yes. It was one of his first forays into television comedy. We know, of course, now, yes, Past Master, Vicar of Dibley, etc., Notting Hill, Four Weddings, all of those. But he wasn't as proven back in these days. 1982, so you had The Lost Pilot, which now they're actually broadcasting for the first time. What you will notice is that Edmund Blackadder, played by Rowan Atkinson, as was ever thus, as a bit of a dork, really. His sarcasm and his great mastery of the bon mot hadn't emerged properly. They took some different directions after that first pilot, and certainly after that first series, and it's quite telling. In fact, Baldrick is played by a different actor completely, and it just makes you realise how these things are miraculously composed, and it could be a completely different show that we wouldn't necessarily be talking about.
Yeah.
And here we are. So, yes, The Lost Pilot, Thursday 9 p.m. on Gold, and there is an interview with Tony Robinson all about that pilot and about how he ended up getting the role of Baldrick in the Radio Times this week.
So, our new segment of the show.
I like segments.
I'm shoehorning this in. I think we should be doing a film of the week.
That's because your favourite film is on TV this week. But yes, I agree. It's a good way to start.
And I will try to pick one each and every week on Free to Air. So, this week we have James Cameron's Titanic, which will be on Channel 4 Saturday, 5:25 p.m.
And what time does it finish? About 3 o'clock the next afternoon, I imagine.
I don't even want to know. No. But I adore this film. I've been banned by our producer to say this is my favourite film, I say that about all of my favourite films.
You have no credibility left.
To which there are many. So I think everyone knows this love story. Mm. But I think the reason why I love it so is because it really did. It did such wonders for what is now an iconic duo.
Forget their success. Mm-hmm. Give me the one reason that this film stands out for you. Just one. And don't gush.
I think it's because it starts off as one story and it ends as something completely different. Yes, it's your typical love story, and it's done well. And love stories aren't normally done well. I would say that there are so many love stories out there, and the ones that stand out are because a few things. Genuine on-screen chemistry, really good casting, very strong story, and good script. But then I think what makes this even better is the suspense. It's the bit where it turns and suddenly it becomes very action-y. It's not like, you know, glances across rooms. It's not her dancing under the deck. It is suddenly about this is what you have to do to survive. And it takes you there, I think.
All right.
And also, we know the story of the Titanic, or we've heard about it. And then I think it's envisioning it through just two characters and humanizing like an atrocious event.
Okay.
Did I sell you on that one?
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I like to be challenged by Caroline. That brought out the best in me, I think.
Oh, good. You upped your game. I love it.
Thank you.
Good to see.
I will always be. Now tell me. Yes. One from the archive.
We were thinking about dystopian stuff because of Charlie Brooker. And there's a lot of it about, but we thought on Freeview we would alert you to the ongoing presence of The Capture. Two series on there now. I imagine there'll be a third because they've really tapped into something with this premise. You may remember it from when it appeared a couple of years ago. Holiday Granger is at the centre. She's a policewoman. And the first series was about her being charged with tracking down a soldier who appeared to attack a young woman by a bus stop. And of course, the story unfolded from there. And what we learnt as viewers was that we cannot believe everything we see, even when it's right in front of our eyes. And the second series continues in this vein, completely different set of characters apart from Holiday Granger and some of the police officials involved. Different story completely, but the same premise. How on earth do you begin to believe in everything you can see? And I think with this advent of AI, of ChatGPT, of these videos that we are told are Tom Cruise, but they turn out not to be. I think this is a very relevant, pertinent story. So the capture is there on the iPlayer.
Brilliant. So if listeners would like to write in, let us know what you're watching, what you've enjoyed, what you haven't, you can find us or talk to us via email on podcast@radiotimes.com. Now, until next Friday,
happy viewing!